Chapter 1. What is fasting? I compare the power of fasting to scuba diving. I live in Virginia Beach, and if you stand on the shore and look at the water, it's brownish black and hard to see beneath the surface. But when you dive deep beneath the surface, everything changes. Although I've never been scuba diving, I've been snuba diving, and the difference is that you don't go down quite as deep. Snuba diving is a combination of snorkeling and scuba diving. It doesn't require an air tank underwater, only a tank that sits above the water. With snuba diving, you can breathe underwater without coming up for air, and you don't have the weight of the scuba diving equipment. You're just connected by like a 20-foot air hose, and it follows your every move and allows you to swim around. Anyways, every time I go snuba diving, I find hidden treasures that I've never been able to see before. There are so many rare fish, animals, and plants that are in the ocean that you never even knew about. I feel like the fish whisperer because they come so close to me and I can see all the different details in the fish. There are things that you see that you would never be able to imagine. You get to see the beautiful tropical fish in the coral reefs, and you can see the shells and all the different types of amazing fish. Everything comes alive. Fasting does that for your spirit. Your body is hungry when you fast, but your spirit is sharp and everything comes into focus. Your body is hungry when you fast, but your spirit is sharp and everything comes into focus. Another thing that fasting does is allow you to tune in to God's voice in your Christian walk. The radio station K-Love on 90.7 is my favorite radio station to listen to in Virginia Beach. If I drive to Richmond to visit my sister, however, I can't hear the station anymore. All I get is static. Doesn't that happen to us sometimes as Christians? We get busy and preoccupied with life, and we rarely slow down to hear God's voice. Fasting is like putting spiritual antennas on your ears. You're tuned into God's station, and you can hear clearly. I own a real estate company, and we do a lot of radio ads. I visit the stations all the time and record commercials with the most popular, well-loved DJs. One of my favorite DJs, Jimmy Ray Dunn, even left his station to join my real estate company. I'm a big fan of radio. God is always communicating with us, but we need to make sure that we are tuned in to his frequency. We advertise locally on about 10 to 12 different radio stations, and when we get the bills for our ads in the mail, they won't say 94.9 The Point, which is the advertised name on the radio station. The bill will say something like WPTE. So then my accounting director has to go back and see which station is WPTE. If you pay attention, most radio stations have a four-letter identification, and it usually starts with a W or a K, like WTKR, which is another popular news station that we have here. And of course, KLOVE, my favorite station. When we are fasting, it helps us tune into WGOD radio and get on his frequency so that we can hear from him. Think about a grape. It's a pretty basic, inexpensive fruit that you can buy just about anywhere. There's not much that you can do with grapes to make them more potent and more powerful than to crush them under your feet to make wine. Now, wine is a powerful, potent substance that can be very expensive and valuable. Think about fasting as a means of crushing our sins and our worldly desires and putting our flesh under direct pressure to turn us into something more powerful, more potent than we could ever imagine. So what is fasting? Fasting, by definition, is abstaining from food or drink for a period of time. The term fast in the Bible comes from the Hebrew word zum, literally meaning to cover the mouth, Strong's Hebrew. In the Greek language, it's nistis. It combines ni, meaning not, and esthio, meaning to eat, Strong's Greek. This is the kind of fasting we'll talk about in this study. We're not fasting social media or television. We're fasting in the true biblical sense, and that is to not eat. There are many different fasting practices, including intermittent fasting, which I used to lose 40 pounds. I wrote a book about it called Waste Away the Chantel Ray Way. This book, however, is about biblical fasting and its ability to break chains in your life. Through biblical fasting, I broke the stronghold of my food addiction, cured my body of many different illnesses, got through difficult times, improved my ability to hear from God, gained clarity when making major decisions, and developed a closer relationship with God. Biblical fasting is not just about going without food for a certain amount of time. Biblical fasting is about going without food in order to grow closer to God. Many different religions have some form of fasting in them. I have Hindu neighbors who fast because they feel it creates a tighter union with God. I have Buddhist friends who fast to be closer to God. My father's family is Muslim, and they fast in the daylight hours during the month of Ramadan to get blessings, create self-discipline, and purify their bodies. The fasting we discuss in this book is based on Christian biblical principles. However, if you're of a different religion, the principles still work. I believe that fasting needs to be a part of your Christian practice, and the Bible backs me up on this. Fasting is mentioned over 77 times in Scripture. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us about three Christian disciplines: praying, giving, and fasting. Matthew 6:2, New International Version. So when you give to the needy, Matthew 6:5, New International Version, and when you pray, Matthew 6:16, New International Version, when you fast, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. Jesus expected us to do all of these things, and we should give as much attention to fasting as we do to praying and giving. I think the reason many Christians don't fast is because it's not talked about very much in the modern church. I had never heard a sermon on fasting for the first 20 years of my Christian life. Here's what Jesus had to say about fasting. Matthew 6:16 through 18, New International Version. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus doesn't say how often or how long we should fast. That's between you and God. You don't need to tell everyone you're on a fast, but you can share it with your spiritual partner. I absolutely believe that you should fast with friends if you can. Fasting is not easy, so it's very important to have people around you that can encourage, strengthen, and pray with you. I believe that one of the greatest appetites human beings have is for food. It's a strong, natural desire that we deny when we fast. We are activating power in our lives when we do this by getting closer to God. I don't believe that God is growing closer to us when we fast. I believe that we are growing closer to God when we fast. Luke 5, 33-35, New International Version. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. In this passage, the Pharisees criticized the disciples for not fasting, but Jesus explained they would fast when they needed to, after he was gone. He basically said, look, I'm with these guys right now. They don't need to fast because they're right next to me. After I'm gone, they'll fast to get closer to me and hear from me. Isn't that a powerful passage? We learn from these scriptures why we fast and that, once again, Jesus expects us to fast. In my opinion, fasting is not an option. It is essential. 1 Peter 2:21, New International Version. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Since we're called to follow Christ's example, our question should be, did Jesus fast? He did. Matthew 4:1-2, New International Version. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Jesus did the ultimate fast. I'm not suggesting you fast for 40 days, but what a serious example. I teach more about overeating, the pull of food, and breaking the stronghold of food in my book, Waste Away the Chantel Ray Way. I encourage you to read it if you're someone who struggles with weight loss, food addiction, or dieting. Fasting is not just a physical discipline. Fasting is you filling up your spiritual tank. Psalm 34:8, New International Version. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fasting is telling God that you hunger for more of his presence, wisdom, and clarity in your life. Personally, overeating is the sin that I struggle with most. Some of you have been battling the same enslaving sin over and over again. You tried to get out of bondage, but you keep coming back to it over and over. It's going to take more than just praying about it to get rid of that sin in your life. I've talked to a lot of people about fasting, and here are some of the reasons they've told me they don't do it. I have really low blood sugar. It doesn't have anything to do with my faith. It's just that my body won't allow me to not eat every couple of hours. What does me not eating have to do with growing closer to God? I've never even heard of spiritual fasting. They don't talk about it at my church. I won't be able to function without food. I won't be able to go to work and be productive in my day-to-day activities. If I am hungry, it will actually distract me from growing closer to God because all I'll be able to think about is food. I don't have anyone who's interested in fasting with me, and I can't do it alone. I have a busy social life with parties and work lunches, and people will look at me funny if I'm not eating. Most of these are logical excuses, but they are just that, excuses. Let's break them down one by one. First, the blood sugar. I have low blood sugar myself. The crazy thing about fasting is that it has actually helped regulate my blood sugar. The more fasting I've done, the more stable my blood sugar has become. There is science behind fasting as it relates to blood sugar. What does not eating have to do with growing closer to God? As you'll see in this book, fasting is all over the Bible, mentioned over 70 times. If Moses, Elijah, David, and even Jesus himself fasted, why would we somehow be above it? They don't talk about fasting at your church. Find a new church. Just kidding. As I mentioned, I didn't hear about fasting at church for years. There are some great resources online, sermons, and podcasts. I'm praying this book is a great resource to get you started. We live in the information age, and everything we want to learn and discover is at our fingertips. If you don't think you'll be able to function without food, I dare you to try. I run a multi-million dollar real estate company with over 200 employees. To say we're busy is an understatement. But in time, I saw that the clarity and focus I gained from fasting has actually helped my business immensely, and over time has even made me more productive. Even on the days that I may be struggling on a fast and don't feel as productive, I've noticed that my coworkers seem to have an extra boost of energy. They will come to me and say, "Oh my goodness, you will never believe I was able to do A, B, C, and D today." Do you think that you will not grow closer to God because you'll be too obsessed thinking about food? You might have a similar stronghold to food in your life that I did and may need to reevaluate your relationship with food altogether. Fasting has truly freed me from the bondage I experienced with food for most of my life. Don't have any friends that want to fast with you? Find some new friends. Just kidding. When I first started fasting, I was doing it all alone. As soon as my friends started seeing my breakthroughs and the level of intimacy with God I was experiencing, they wanted in on it too. Not all of my friends fast, but I have a couple of close friends who do it with me. Pray for friends like these. Are you worried about how fasting will interfere with your social life? I have been to hundreds of functions while I've been fasting, and I guarantee you that no one cares what I'm eating. They are more concerned about what they are eating. The whole goal in going out to eat or to a function with a group of people is to bond, socialize, network, and connect. Not eating doesn't get in the way of the goal. You'll see lots of examples of this in the book. Even one story in which I went to one of the nicest restaurants in New York City with a colleague who was paying the bill and I didn't eat at all, and still had a great time. It boils down to this. The main reason people don't fast is because it's hard. At no point do I want you to think that fasting will be easy. But nothing good in life comes easily. If you want a good marriage, it's going to require hard work. If you want a successful career, it's going to require hard work. Raising godly children is definitely hard. Many of you struggle with your weight and will agree that maintaining a healthy, fit body is hard. You get the point. We live in a world of shortcuts, magic pills, and secret sauces. Everyone I know who is successful at anything has had trials, struggles, naysayers, and setbacks. But they didn't give up, and you shouldn't either. I've done a ton of fasting, and it still isn't easy for me. But you need to press on, hang in there, and just keep moving. Anything worthwhile is going to be hard, but worth it. If I said to you, "I want you to spend 5 minutes in prayer," that may feel like a long time, but it's doable. Attending church for an hour or two each week may seem like a sacrifice to some, but it's not that much in the scheme of a week. Even if you add in an hour of attending small group, it's a sacrifice, but not a stretch. Fasting is a real stretch. Not eating for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, that is a real stretch of faith. I know a lot of really strong Christians who still think they need to eat every 2 hours. They can be extremely disciplined in every area of their spiritual walk, but refuse to submit to this one discipline. I have a close family member that is this way. She is sold out for God, completely submitted, but she refuses to fast. She buys into the lies from the devil that her blood sugar won't allow for fasting. She literally eats the moment she wakes up every day and continues to eat every 2 hours, even if it's something like almonds. I believe that these Christians, like my family member, who refuse to fast are really missing out on all that God has for them. Fasting has truly changed my life, and I'm praying that through this book, it will change yours as well.